presents E3 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Are we going to continue with our coverage E3 2019? And we just got back from the Ubisoft briefing. And I have Pete here, man. Pete was sitting next to me the whole time during the whole press conference, man. So, your thoughts?
Part of me is happy because some of the things that we saw, I mean, like, I guess our predictions were almost spot on, right?
Almost.
For the
almost,
most part. For yeah. the most part. I know I didn't get a chance to see, you know, any Beyond Good and Evil. But, you know, aside from that, you know, the worst kept secret in gaming, Watch Dogs, coming
out.
Let's
talk about that. Let's talk about that, dude. That was very entertaining. The presentation I love, and the part that I love the most, you could pick anyone that is walking. Doesn't matter if it's young, old, the things they're doing in the game, any NPCs. You choose, you go from there. But well, my question
I think it's best to explain that.
Okay, yeah.
Because
yeah,
there was that big narrative on Twitter about, oh, NPCs, you can't play NPCs, and what are NPCs? And so I think it's best we break that down as to how it's doing it, right?
Okay.
So as you're playing the game, you're basically open to recruit any person in the game. Mm-hmm. Whether they be, you know, NPCs or whatever. And so that's what you're doing. You're recruiting them into the resistance to go up against, you know, to go up against the government. You know, set in London, you know, post-Brexit apocalypse or whatever it is you want to call it. But I thought it was really cool because they ran through, you know, basically, you know, a catalog of characters that you could pick. You can pick an assassin. You could pick a techie. You could pick a grandma.
Yeah.
That was huge. That I think, was like the best part of the whole presentation for me, was the old lady.
And you know what? I actually probably going to do that because that's a character that...
Totally unassuming. You would never expect.
Exactly. And it's perfect. But if it's somebody that you could tell, like, you know, big, muscular, like... I think it won't work. It would be like a little bit way too obvious. You know what I'm saying? But so that was a good one. I know Paris is with us too. You were not in the briefing, but you got to watch it, right? So your thoughts about Watch Dogs? You've been very vocal on Twitter about Watch Dogs ever since they teased it online.
Yeah, I mean, I think the near future setting in London looks great. I think the gameplay loop that they're setting up with, like Pete was saying, that you can recruit any NPC that you see in the game to help you. And I like how during that opening, I don't know, demo or cinematic, however you want to call it, they had him like scanning different people and he needed the drone expert. But then he was like, ooh, this person's really good. But it was like, but it wasn't for that mission. All right, file that away for later, because maybe this is someone you can find later on in the game for a mission that you do need. So it'll be interesting to see how the open world structure of it works versus just a straight up mission structure where you randomly encounter, you know, things that happen in the world, side missions, things like that, recruiting people in to help you. What if you recruit someone and they fail? And I think we're getting kicked out of where we are. No, we're not. All right, I'll keep it going. This all stays in. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Watchdog, it looks great. I was surprised that it's March 2020. I really thought it was going to be November. But hey, if they need a few more months to get it done, that works for me. I'm fine with it.
Well, again, it's the age-old adage of give it more time to
make. Exactly.
Give me a polished product versus coming in and rushing the things. All right, so obviously we just did our Ghost Recon breakdown, and we'll, you know, stay tuned for that one because we'll be talking more about that. What did you think of the Rainbow Six Quarantine announcement?
I'm there for it. I'm there for it because I love that they said, look, we know we got fire with the PvP side of Rainbow Six. We ain't messing with that. But we think we can do better with the actual co-op portion of it. Because I don't know if you guys remember back in the day, Rainbow Six, like on the original Xbox and all that with the campaign. I used to love those campaigns. Wasn't so much a fan when we started getting into Rainbow Six, Vegas and stuff like that. So if they can kind of capture that magic they had on the original Xbox and bring it forward to modern times, and obviously just all the different co-op features. And like they said, you really is going to push your skill set to the limit to be able to accomplish these missions. And we truly got to work together as a team to accomplish things, you know, do our breaches, things like that. I'm excited for it because I do think there's an audience that's there for a co-op Rainbow Six experience, you know, versus just doing multiplayer PvP stuff.
Didn't we get this as a precursor like 2 years ago? It was some kind of like, it was just after they announced Finca and Lion as operators. I think I want to say it was about a year ago. And then they came up with, it was kind of like a horde mode thing.
Like a zombie.
It was like, I don't know. Yeah. It was like some weird.
I played it. And it was only, that's what I was going to bring up. That was more of like, let's test the waters to see if people are playing this. Let's see if the feedback, let's test it out. And they will have it on for like maybe a couple days. More like, it will look like more like as an event. You play it, and that's it. They'll take it off. But I think by them doing that, they test the waters, and a lot of people are loving it. So that's why I think it's better for them to now.
Yeah, I think it was called Outbreak or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a lot of fun. It was tough.
No, it was a lot of fun. And that's and I'm glad that they realized that they had, whoa, I mean, we got a little bit of magic in a bottle here.
Yeah.
Let's iterate on this and make it bigger. And now we're going to see a full-on title that encompasses and takes that on. So I'm really glad to see that.
Very cool.
From them. Another title that we're not really familiar with, but kind of got my eye, Brawlhalla. That's like their version of Super Smash Brothers.
I
thought it was pretty cool. We saw them showing gameplay between devs and fans or whatever just before the conference on the big screen.
Yeah, yeah. That was cool.
What are your thoughts?
It looks cool. I mean, I would like to get... I know I downloaded it on the Switch a couple months ago, but I've never really got to actually play it. But now that I got to see like videos, and I think now we're also going to have like an interview and so on, right?
For well, not just
week.
That. They're introducing a new stage in the
stage,
game,
yeah.
A new mode, mm-hmm. which they'll be talking more about. I'll see if we could talk about it tomorrow, as well as the new introduction of Adventure Time and Finn, and that whole cast of characters coming into the game as characters.
Yeah, and the game cool. and the game it's free. Like I remember downloading it, so. That's pretty cool.
Well,
and
I know that they just got picked up by Ubisoft.
It was from an indie
right, they were an indie studio, and now they're part of the... So, all right, so we've delayed long enough.
Yes.
The Division 2.
You know what?
Season 1
we
finale.
We were right. Paris, we were right. The part where we were saying New York City. Remember those posters? It was all over.
I mean, we were all kind of right. Like I said, no, we're going to talk about Season 2. Forgetting that we're still in season one and they still talked about season two as well.
But I love the episodes, man. Like, different locations. Dude, I thought it was just going to be like outside of DC, but still DC area. But no, you go into like different cities and they ended with New York City. I was like, okay, this is. So imagine a raid in New York, or it could be somewhere in the middle of the country. The possibilities, man, it will be freaking huge.
Well,
like,
that's the point I was going to bring up. This is absolutely leading towards season two. I do think we potentially could be leaving Washington, D.C., going back to New York, and I fully expect a raid in New York. I just think that happens. I think that would be a welcome sight for Division fans to kind of bring back some of the original stuff into the Division two. Bring, you know, kind of same setting, but all different, all new. Black Tusk is now involved, things like that.
Yeah.
I was excited to see it. By the way, Terry grew out his hair back.
Yes.
That freaked me out. I'm not used to seeing him like that.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Terry.
Yeah.
but I have to bring something up. Originally, I thought that the Pentagon, I thought they were going to use that as like the raid.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's actually...
It's a stronghold.
It's
going to be the obviously the big thing with episode two.
I was very surprised.
But again, Black Tusk invaded, and then the Black Tusk are obviously going to... It's going to be the raid again, it sounds like. Or, right? Yeah.
So the raid... Okay. They said...
But the Outcast is going to be episode three.
So they said there's going to be a raid this fall. I thought that per episode there were going to be another raid. So it's only two raids?
It looks like episode one they're going to skip the raid, which actually makes sense to me. And that is actually what focuses on the Outcast is going to be episode one.
Okay.
Episode two is the Black Tusk again, the Pentagon. We're going to have a raid. Episode three, we're going to Coney Island.
Right, yeah. Yeah, episode one is the National Zoo.
Yeah.
And then there's that one game thing that's going to be the setting in Kenley College.
New game mode, yeah.
In the college,
yeah.
You know, college town or whatever. A Division movie with a Netflix marketing deal featuring Jessica Chastain and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
It's huge. That's huge. Okay. We're in games as a service. Obviously, Ubisoft is the biggest champion of games as a service, and now they've got their own subscription service for $15 a month.
I do not like it. Costs too much. With Xbox Live Ultimate, Game Pass Ultimate, whatever you want to call it. That's $15, and I can do it on the console. So, look, Ubisoft has a big library. I get it. I don't know if it's $15 a month big, though.
So I've got friends that will basically buy almost every Ubisoft title because they just have that secret recipe that it works on almost every game. If you buy enough Ubisoft titles a year,
and that's look, we know they put out enough games like that, but they kind of put out a big variety that appeals to different audiences. So I don't necessarily know if that single consumer is buying enough Ubisoft games in a single year.
It's basically three titles. It's what, $180?
It's $180 a year.
Right. It's three titles.
But that's the question I'm asking myself.
Right.
Am I buying three Ubisoft games a year? I don't think I am, to be blunt about it. I don't know if that's worth it for me. Whereas at least with the Xbox one, I can justify it because I'm getting all of Microsoft's first-party titles and I'm getting select third-party titles on console and PC. Not to mention, they're also here's Xbox Live Gold as well. I still say Ultimate's the better value.
I agree.
I will be curious to see. And this goes with Origin Premier because it's literally the same thing. I don't think Origin Premier is worth it. So they're kind of, EA and Ubisoft are both in the same boat when it comes to that, in my opinion, where I kind of think $9.99 is the ceiling for that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought 15 might have been too high. 10, I would have been a little bit more open to paying for it. I guess I'm with you. I don't know if I buy it. I think I do buy enough titles from a Ubisoft perspective. You figure you might see another Ghost Recon title or another Rainbow Six title.
Give you an example.
It's possible.
From what we know about the release window here in 2019, let's say this was at January this happened. Okay, I got The Division. Great. I'm going to get Ghost Recon. I think I'm done for this year. I could not tell you another Ubisoft title I would want in 2019. I mean, obviously there's back catalog stuff. I get it. No. but that's kind of, you see my point though. It's like even in this year of new titles, I only see myself getting two. So when you look at it that way, it's not worth it to me.
So I have a question. Partnership with Stadia, using this, Uplay Plus.
Wait a minute. What do you mean?
Uplay Plus, the subscription service, is also available for Google Stadia. They did announce
As it should be, because if Stadia's trying to get anyone to use that damn thing, they better partner up with something like that, because that makes sense. But now you're really arguing. If I'm a Stadia user and I'm spending 15 on top of that, man, I don't know.
Yeah, you figure it's what? That would be another. So now you're paying $360 a year.
Yeah.
Just to get access to Ubisoft and an online streaming game service.
Remember, you could download, but I'm saying if you want to play through the streaming, that's how you use Uplay Plus through Stadia.
Now, I get it, but I don't want to turn this into the Stadia conversation, but that almost kind of cements my point of I think Stadia ultimately, it's just going to cost you too much money for what you're getting. I'd rather have a console or a PC and just download the games. I don't think I'm there yet.
I don't know. I mean, there was...
Well, can I ask this since...
Okay, go.
No, because I'm going into a different subject, so go ahead.
No, the last game that they show at the press conference, Gods and Monsters, that game, I don't know if you got to watch that.
I saw a little bit of
it. I got the vibe of Zelda, Link, that type of vibe for Ubisoft. It's from the creators of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and it looks really good. I see some big stuff coming from that game, man. I have a
great feeling about it. So just wanted to mention that real quick. But, yeah, you were going to say something?
No, I was actually shifting into something completely different because obviously I wasn't here today. So I don't know if you guys did any kind of recap from your experience at the Xbox Showcase.
No, not yet. Not yet.
So
not
now I'm interviewing y'all.
Right, but wait, I got to do this separate.
No, you do it all together.
Yeah, I need this. All right, we're right back.
Recording.
Thanks. All right, so we're going to continue with E3. Stay tuned. We got more stuff coming.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.